while I'm taking care of the handouts, question for you. So, in your opinion, what is the most important piece of news? We'll answer that question in two ways. The most important piece of news currently for you, and the most important piece of news that you think your students should know. Okay, think about those two questions just a little bit while I get a few things passed out here to you. And tell me how you would answer that. First question. So the most important piece of news currently for you is what? If you would just take these and pass them back through and around, make sure each person gets one. Most important piece for you personally. What grabs your attention right now? The Miller case. All right. And which case are you speaking of? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good. Somebody else? You don't have to be pious here. That I like Jonas's answer, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a... Yes? Right now, huge problems in Syria. Uh-huh.
The Colorado shooting and all the gun control.
Uh-huh. Discussion. Yeah. Did you read that fascinating piece about that? I forget the commentator, but he said, you know, this... I was floored. He said, you know, this has very little to do with the film that was watched. It's really all about gun control. Did you read that? When I read that, I thought, okay, now what are you thinking? All right. Not saying it had nothing to do with gun control, but it amazed me how that he wanted to say, well, hey, look, don't go quickly the direction of theater and films and what's actually being shown here and how that's affecting the people. Just think about if we could just keep the guns out of these people's hands, that'd solve the problem. Good. What else?
The whole situation of Europe teetering on the brink of economic collapse.
Mm-hmm. Why would that be important to us?
Big sucking sound.
Yeah. How'd you say that?
The big sucking sound.
There you go. Gonna gobble it all up. It will affect you. It will affect you, absolutely. And the thing about it is there's not very much sensation in that, really. It's, you have to read the details and pay attention to what's happening there to begin to get a feel for what's actually happening economically. And even then, I'll admit, you're still guessing a little bit. But the implications are rather severe where this all seems to be headed. But good, don't want to get off on an economics class here. What else? Oh, we got a health bill, on the floor, and not on the floor, I guess, in the law books, and see how this is all going to pan out. You bet, that's going to have a big effect. What else? Uh-huh, feels like we're headed back to a recession, so paying attention there a bit. All right, out of the ones that you just got done talking about, which ones do you think your students may be interested in? And now I realize that some of your elementary teachers very likely and some high school teachers, but you don't have to pick and choose from the ones now we just got done talking about, but you can think of those or others. So what would your students enjoy hearing about or really get taken up with if you were to ask them about the news? And this is high school, probably? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's big implications out there. Good. I heard that feed prices went up dramatically. Okay, who else?
My upper elementary boys get very passionate when we discuss gun control. So the Colorado case would probably be of interest.
I'm curious. And which side are they on?
they're very strong pro gun laws.
They want to hang on to those guns.
They're petrified of any gun control, and I'm saying, hey, it's okay.
That's good. That's good. Boy, there's a lot of fuel for the fire there. There's a lot of, you can open up all kinds of avenues of discussion. And about where we're at and how we think about such things and why we do, and why would you be so passionate about it? It's okay with me. They have those AK-47s. Oh, really? What if you were staring down the barrel of that thing with somebody on the other end? It was a little hostile. But good. What else? He knows where one of their buttons are. You push that one and you got him.
I like to discuss where Christians are being persecuted actively.
Uh-huh, that's a good one. You have to look a little harder for that kind of information. I was going to bring a little pamphlet along here, and I forgot it. But yeah, very good. Those bits and pieces around the world that are happening in the body of Christ. Good.
Perhaps related to that, but a little different take, is just the growth of Islamic influence around the world.
And oh my, that just opens all kinds of subjects. Because interestingly enough, we find ourselves paralleling them just a tad bit at places in terms of how people view us. So, you could go places with that subject. Who else? Well, you're doing well here. I think it's worth asking yourself as a teacher, if you're in first and second grade or fifth and sixth or wherever you're, what is it that my students, two things, what do they want to hear? What ought they hear out of the news? Okay, and actually be deliberate about it. Do some picking and choosing and bring things in and help them to think about the issues that they're facing. Okay, well, that's a good beginning discussion there. Did I run out of that second handout? Did everybody get a second? You know, I wondered about that. I think either the copier counted wrong or else I did, one of the two. Could you please do one there? Here's a couple.
That's the first half.
That's the first half. We have enough of those, but the second half, could somebody give one of the blank ones to them, to Anthony? How many need one? Can you raise your hand? One, two, three, four. It looks like if you make five or six or seven will do. Thank you. Okay. The handouts I gave to you are simply discussion guides to help us think a little bit about the issues. You have four maxims and four questions that I think about when I'm doing current events. And I'm going to try to not spend a lot of time on them, sort of work our way down through them a bit, and then open it up for discussion. Because, look, I know, for some reason, you're kind of forced to hear my perspective here for a couple of minutes. But I really would love to hear from you, too, because I know there are a lot of ideas here present in the classroom. So we'll just move along here fairly rapidly and see if we can talk a little bit about some of these that I have listed here for you. Oh, let's have the lights out. The copier also was not copying very darkly over there in the other, over in the student center, so I apologize for that. But can you read that from the back there? Okay. First maxim, substance, not sensationalism. The tendency is always towards sensationalism. And let's be fair, we're classroom teachers and we want it to be interesting and we want our students to be interested in what we're talking about. So maybe a few sensational pieces to pull in there and make sure you're not just avoiding the sensational stories just to avoid them. Okay, they are part of the stories of current events, but it probably is not what's really happening down in the warp and woof of society. On a long-term general basis that would help students to make decisions about life and so on. And hence, just that notion, don't immediately look for the sensational story and present it. Look for those obscure stories those martyrs' stories that they're in the nooks and the crannies, so you're not going to find them in Drudge Report, et cetera, et cetera. You'll find it somewhere else. What are some of the categories you I liked? A number of them you talked about are economics, mission activity of the church, already been raised here a time or so. And I just may mention here that oftentimes calls for us to look beyond the typical periodicals. Can you pass these back through? I'm not quite sure. Look to me as though the group over here is the ones who needed that second one. If you need a copy of that, just ask for it, please. I enjoy reading Hans Mast stuff in the Sordid Trumpet. It's amazing. I almost always go to those pages and read them first for some reason. If I'm looking for something to read in the evening, sit down on my chair, pull up Sword and Trumpet, and look at that, kind of leap back through there and look at some of the stories that he's wanting us to think about. You're not going to find those emphasized in a newspaper, okay? And, of course, there are lots of other periodicals. I try to take the time, actually. So Olive Branches reports, Anabaptist International Ministry, Mennonite Air Missions, and you could go down through the list. When you get those, I know that some of the writing is not really fantastic and just really good reading. But there's oft times some really good, solid information in there that is helpful. Third, culture. Looking for substance. Fourth, archaeology. Mennonite news. I don't know if you read the Mennonite Weekly or not. It's not like I strongly encourage it, but we have it in our library. I don't get it at home, but I like to periodically, if I have 15, 20 minutes, I walk down to our library and pull out the Mennonite Weekly and just leaf through it, if nothing else, just to get a feel for what Mennonite leaders across the spectrum, particularly the liberal spectrum, what they're thinking and talking about and seeing and what the activity is going on there. Of course, there's a lot of other places where we can find news there, too. And my encouragement is here, don't neglect this. In the last 5 years, Jonas, I think you know more about this than what I do, the reconciliation action that was happening over in Switzerland and places like that. Just very, very interesting and fascinating stories to follow and listen to as you hear the old Swiss Reformed Church actually thinking about what happened during the Reformation and calling on the Anabaptists to come back over there to Switzerland and sit down at a table and start talking to each other. That's a blessing. But you have to go look for it a little bit, okay, to find that kind of information. Local news, education, medicine, the list is not complete, but look for substance, things that really count when you're doing current events. You other categories here we could talk about, but for the sake of time, we'll try to avoid being too lengthy there. Secondly, maximize your strengths, minimize your weaknesses. This is an old rule for teachers, of course. And you typically, at least for me, I have to think about that maxim when I am setting out on any project, whether it's teaching math or whatever. So in current events, what do I naturally fall into? What do I know the most about? It doesn't mean that I shouldn't be exploring other areas. It just means that when you're tight with schedules and it's this and that and the other thing, well, you know what you're fairly good at. Here's a couple. Geography emphasis. So, for example, take the Syrian crisis currently, okay? Well, if you took a political tact on that thing, that requires a certain level of knowledge of Middle Eastern politics and Palestinian versus Israeli and Syrian and Sunnis and Shiites and on and on and on and on and on, and it's all good information. But maybe the thing that really falls right to your hand very easily is just the geographical layout. So this is in the news. And so during this time, you act rather than emphasize the actual events. Emphasize the geography. See how Lebanon lies along Syria, and here's Israel, and here's Iraq, and so forth and so on. Now, what do you think about the implications here? How does that affect what's actually happening in Syria? Where's the Golan Heights? And how does that fit into the story between Israel and Syria and what's actually happening on the ground today? Do you hear the geography emphasis coming through? Okay. And sometimes I think in current events we tend to get so dissipated. We're not really thinking specifically about what we want to teach here. Well, that geography type of approach really is very solid. That information is useful beyond today when Assad's trying to figure out what he's doing and he don't even know where he's at right now. And so that'll come and go. But the geography, my dad always says, well, land's always there. So it's there, the lines are drawn, and they mean something. What do they mean? And when Syria is currently in the news, it's a good time to push it up there in front of the students. And, of course, depending on the grade level, you can alter the emphasis and so on. Historical context. Now, being a history teacher, of course, this is the one that catches me. Because a typical fifth and sixth grader, you better weed through what is it out of the history that they can relate to, rather than getting into some details that they're lost. They're not quite sure what you're talking about. But it's easy for me to just start giving the background. We never really get to what the news is about. We're just working on the background. Well, I guess that's not all bad either. But anyway, work on the historical context. Small groups. If you happen to be a person who is really adept at managing small groups, current events is a great thing. You can get three people together and assign them to work with such and such and such and such and give a presentation tomorrow, multimedia or whatever. It happens not to be my forte, so I tend not to go there. Okay, don't do much of it. But for those of you who are really good with small groups, current events is a good place to think about it. Lecture happens to be the thing that I do all too naturally, and so should be quiet and let somebody else talk. Student presentations. Essays can be written. You can form it right, present the issue. So, in this Israeli-Palestinian conflict, what's your opinion? And what should become of old Jerusalem? And for 9th and 10th graders, a little bit of context, a little bit of a little stimulation, have them write an essay. It fits right in with the writing assignment for this week or whatever. Current events is a great bouncing board for that type of thing. Research, of course, is another thing that you can do with current events. Okay. I'll make some notes there alongside what we're talking about. And when it is, I got to get the right one. Here we go. And when we get finished here, I'd like to hear from you. Third maxim, to be sure an event will happen, schedule it. This can happen in two ways. Those of you who've had me for principles of teaching, you've heard this before. Okay? Current events I have found is very much this way. I teach American history, I teach world history, and if in the high school in particular, if I do not actually say on Friday, the first 15 minutes of every class, we're going to schedule that to talk about current events, I tend to push it off and just sort of fit it in somewhere along the way, and it doesn't really get the kind of attention it ought to get. And for that reason, I suggest that it actually be scheduled. When I taught at Anchor Christian School, John D. Barton actually introduced this. He was so big on this that he insisted on Friday afternoons, after cleanup, we always met for a half an hour, and one of the high school teachers would give a current events lecture. well, I shouldn't say current events lecture. Back at that time, they had oh my, what was the name of that? I don't think it exists anymore, but they had a, somebody was publishing a current events listing. Six important events for the week. They had quizzes with them. They had geography quizzes with them. Do they still make that thing? God's World, maybe. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was pretty good. And so every Friday after cleanup, we got together, and one of the teachers would talk about those six items, and they actually got a quiz on that. On that lecture, that presentation, that sheet, I believe it came on Monday. I can't remember when we actually gave it, but it was a scheduled time for the entire high school at one time. All 50 students would get in the room, and we would talk about current events. I kind of miss that. We had a lot of really good times doing that. But the point is, it was scheduled, so it happened. If it's not scheduled, it tends not to happen, like some things. Specify times, place, and when will you assess? And the fourth maxim is stimulate and direct student involvement. Give specific assignments in advance. I'm always amazed at this. They tend to, I don't know, complain up front, but boy, most students take to this. If you actually assign them to, I'd like for you to bring in an article on Friday for our scheduled time, and bring in an article, do a little research on it, and give us a 3-minute, a 5-minute a talk on this piece of current events. They act like they don't like it, but a lot of times I have found just surprisingly that this young man, well, boy, he'll jump right in there and go after that. So do it specifically. Fit student presentations with student skills. And I think that goes without saying. That's just one of the principles of pedagogy as it is. But don't ask a student to do something they can hardly do. For example, I remember asking a student one time to do a chalk drawing of his perception. I'm sorry, her perception of, I don't even remember what the event was anymore, simply because I knew she was a good artist. And she liked to do chalk drawings. Okay, and she did very well with it. I know some people I would not ask, including yours truly, to do a chalk drawing presentation on current events, but fit it to the student. Okay, questions or comments on the maxims? Maybe you have one or two to add here, or three or four. Let's take a minute or two. So to you, what is very, very important to make sure you have down right when you're doing current events? Again, it needs to be scheduled. So our students, particularly back at Anchor, the scenario I was talking about, they knew that, I think we gave that, I think what we did was on Friday when they came in, they took a quiz on the previous Friday's presentation. Then there was a presentation. So it was actually scheduled. They knew it was going to happen. We're going to have a test sometime here along the way on current events. Rather, they knew this was a regularly scheduled thing, and they were responsible to master the information. Good question. Who else?
I'm just wondering if there are more ideas on fitting student presentation.
Uh-huh.
Skills that anybody would like to.
Good.
I call it possibly setting up an interview with one,
two,
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. The role-playing, interview, good. Again, certain people do well with that. Some other ideas there. Depending on the school, I don't know, I can't remember having done this precisely, but depending on the school, some people have a student come in and actually characterize somebody from the news. So Barack Obama giving a speech or whatever, and so they tried to mimic that. Some people are very good at that. You'd almost think it was the real guys. Other ideas? Now, I've taught school long enough that I know it's very hard to incorporate all these ideas into life, but it's always good to have them in your back pocket so you can pull them out when you need them. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that. Four questions. And a question here, what is your purpose? And this is my outline, but I don't have anything filled in here so what is it? To encourage interest in what? You'd be surprised how well this may give some guidance to help you sort through current events. So 11th and 12th grade, if we're studying economics this year anyway, okay, well, why not to encourage an interest in how the economical system works or something that has to do with economics? And that helps you as soon as you go to the news and you start sorting through it. You're not trying to think to yourself, now, see, what should we include here? What shouldn't we? You already have an idea of where you're headed with that. The presidential race is going on right now. Well, you could put that one in there for this year, at least up until November, and follow that presidential race if you're in civics class or whatever it is, and talk to the students about that, get some feedback from them. You can always get, well, not always, but typically you can get significant discussion there. But I would strongly encourage, maybe by the quarter rather than the year. Okay, say this quarter I'm going to specifically focus on news about the church around the world, the Asian church, let's say. I'm going to focus on African politics or whatever it may be. But probably not the Olympics. Secondly, what skill would I like them to have when they're done? Here again, don't get too grandiose, but maybe it's just simply map skills. So I want the students by the end of this quarter to be able to sketch a map of Syria and the freehand and the countries around it, and give a brief explanation of how they fit into the picture there or whatever. Okay, so the skill is learning a little cartography, how to draw a map and get in their mind the geography there. This would be an example. To connect students with their roots, maybe. Okay, if it's connecting it with their roots, then I'm probably going to look at the Mennonite Weekly. I'm going to look at a number of periodicals and start asking them, well, did you hear about the family in Guatemala who was robbed and how they responded to it? And have that story there available and talk with them about it. Or I remember Dale Heise's son, this is years ago now, was drowned, I believe, in Guatemala or Costa Rica or one of those places. Talk to the students about that event and the kinds of, again, there are all kinds of implications here. You can go a lot of places with it. But that would be tied to a purpose. Okay? Strongly, strongly urge you to take the time to think before school starts what you may want to emphasize, maybe a quarter at a time. I oftentimes do it this way. For quarter one, I don't even try to anticipate quarter two because who knows what the news may be by that time and what will be prominent. And so quarter one, this is what we're going to work on. Quarter two, when at the beginning of the quarter, we'll talk about where we want to head with that. Okay? Questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Then the last page you have, and the second question that is raised here, what are your sources of information? This is important. I don't need to tell you this. All news is presented with a certain bias. Even if I was giving the news, I admit I have an opinion. I have a bias here, and I'm going to tell it in a certain way, probably. And it may be, I don't think I would intentionally be misleading by omitting this or adding this in or whatever, but I just know that naturally I will, because of who I am and how I see a thing or whatever. But it's good to realize, I think the farther you get away from a strong attempt to be honest as a Christian, the closer you're going to get to people who are quite willing to twist and move the news around and emphasize what they want to in order to make a certain point. I think it's a good place to teach, particularly upper grade students, some critical thinking. Okay, so you read so-and-so. Now, where was that source? Who was it that gave you that piece of news? Or where did you hear that? Or where did you read it? Oh, you read it in Reader's Digest. Okay. Did you check the source where they actually got their information? Or you read it in The Sun? Well, then we'd have a little bit more work to do, I believe. But a little discipleship here ahead of us. But anyway, you know the list of things that... So think carefully about this. Well, periodicals and, of course, I'm saying trusted sources. If they're not trusted, you should say so. Just tell the students, okay, here's a bit of news that has come through. It came from Drudge Report, or it came from whatever, and I have questions about it. Well, let's talk about it here a little bit, and maybe we can find out how we can really get to the truth. Is this really the case? Or are we just looking at somebody's sensational story, or whatever? How can we find trusted sources? Here's some questions to ask. What is the world view? A very, very, very important thing, I think. And I'm saying either way, even if you agree with the worldview, it's good to know that that's the worldview. because the fact of the matter is, that does mean they're going to slant it a little bit that way. Okay? It's going to be written from that perspective. And hence, even I've learned that even sources that I would tend to agree with in general, you just shouldn't just swallow it lock, stock, and barrel, okay, that's the way it is. But rather do a little sleuthing or a little work to see how accurate it really is. What are some comments there that you may have?
Do you have any comments about, some people say you shouldn't read world because they're Christian, but then they are non-resistant and they'll sneak stuff in and give me comments?
Mm-hmm. I think I do, but I'm wondering what kind of response some of you may have. So, well, just let me, you don't be embarrassed here at all. How many of you use World or have access to it or read it regularly or use it with your students? Okay, a couple of you. All right, what are the, you heard what Chad said here. Well, the problem that some people talk about is it is a worldview. It's what, the problem is a Protestant mainstream. Would that be the right way to talk about it? Very likely, I think. Fundamentalist? Probably not quite there. I don't know. at any rate, so an objection is it has a particular worldview and there are pieces of it that wouldn't fit very well with us. So how do you feel about that?
Well, it's as important to teach that as it is to point out the biases of the liberal media or the...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would tend to use it as a teaching tool. If I were using it regularly, that would be one of my purposes, is to help us think through, well, so how does my life and my experience fit in with this worldview? Or not fit in, and talk about that just like I would any other media source. And by the way, remembering that I too am infallible. It's not like my view is perfect. Okay, so now understand there is truth there, and so we're going after truth. I'm not trying to act like there isn't there. I'm just saying that you need to bring some humility to this. So for me, I wouldn't see an issue with using world in the right perspective. and critically like I would anything else. Okay? Who else? We'll jump ahead here just a bit. Electronic media, of course, has really been thrust upon us here in the last number of years. Visuals alter public opinion. They really do. I'm amazed at how I'm pushed around by this. I really am. Some magazines, the one liberal magazine that I look at periodically to sort of get a feel for where they're at is Time magazine. Well, they'll use much more graphic violence and show more blood and gore and gut in that magazine, what you're going to find in U.S. News and World Report or something like that. And it's amazing. Well, I recoil. It's like, really? It gives you a different feel for what's actually happening. And the thing you have to remember, though, is that picture, you know, the journalists are actually trained and taught how to take a picture in such a fashion that it alters the way you see the thing and the way you feel about it. They really do. I've never been through the training. I don't plan to take it. But journalists are trained that way. So you have to remember, even though this is an actual image, that image was taken in order to make a particular point. Okay? And if you took it, I mean, you just think about it. If you take a picture with that background, it's different than that background. And it gives a different impression altogether. And so the fact of the matter is visuals have become very, very prominent, of course, in the news. And it's not that I'm against them. It's just that I'd be aware that even though it's an actual photograph, it typically is taken to make a particular point. And it's good to ask yourself the question. Now, what's the point here? Why were we taking this picture? And why that went over the thousands of other pictures that were taken that could have been in this same article? And, of course, what has not been reported is a good question to ask. I'm not so sure that that's not as important as what has been reported. Now, of course, you don't have access to what has not been, but you just take that Syrian conflict right now. Are the rebels the good guys? And Assad the bad guy? Or are they, who's beating up on who and killing little children and this and that and the other thing? Well, before you just assume that it's Assad who's slaughtering and going on, well, you know, you want to take some time to find out for sure. And then you probably don't know for sure. But so from what I'm reading, I think the rebels also have a rather bloody outlook on things. And they're ready to take whatever action they need to take to have their way. Well, okay, for choosing sides here, think about that a bit. So what has not been reported? Third, how will you present the information is a question I ask myself. Will it be a lecture? Will there be handouts? Assignments? Here's the one that Jonas mentioned, role-playing or skit. Again, I'm not big on that at all, but some people do it really well. Visuals, and how will I use them if I do? A bulletin board. In fact, right there, you can see a bulletin board. I believe that's Mr. Miller's from last year. And he used that bulletin board. You can still, it looks like some of the articles are still up there. Students could bring piece of news in and tack it up on the bulletin board, and Mr. Miller, I think, would then ask him to talk about it or whatever. A visiting presenter. I've done this very, very seldom because, it's typically an inconvenience for somebody to come in and give a little bit of a presentation, but somebody who has been to, lived in Jerusalem for the last year. Donovan Graber, one of those people happened to be in the area, let's say, and visiting faith builders and the whole Palestinian issue is an issue. Well, great. If you can get a hold of him and pull him into your classroom and say, could you give us a 20-minute presentation of what it's like to live in Jerusalem under the circumstances that we're hearing in the news? It's amazing. You almost always get a very different view of how the people are feeling on the street and what's actually in the news. So those are great sources. If you could find a presenter who was actually there on the case, on the issue, well, hey, have them come in and talk. Finally, how will you hold students accountable for what you present? And quiz, summary essay, reports, there are just various ways that that's done. I would encourage some level of accountability. Now, we do some things just for fun in classes, that's true. There ought to be some space for that. Well, this is not going to be quizzed or whatever. We're talking here about life. And so I'm not against that at all. But as an ongoing thing, I would recommend some level of accountability for what is done in current events so that the students really learn to pay attention and so forth and so on. Okay. I have another presentation at 11, so I'm not going to cut you off early, but I wanted to sort of maybe rush there a little bit and have you talk here with each other a little bit now about what you have done in current events that I maybe didn't even mention. Maybe I did, but you have a take on it that would help us to understand it better. Time's yours. Or questions or whatever you would like to do here.
In my classroom, we get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and we use World's, I think it's called Top Story.
Okay,
And I think the subtitle is God's World News. It's World's magazine for 5th through 8th grade, I think. But just some other sources of information that have been helpful.
Good question there. So what sources do you use in your school for current events? Answers in Genesis? Good. Economist, there you go. Good. Is that for high school?
High school level.
Good.
I used a number of years, I subscribed for high school to the Christian Science Monitor for about 6 months. But they went from a day, 5 days a week to a weekly now.
Oh.
It really changed. So
okay.
They used to have a lot more reporting on other parts of the world that you didn't hear of. You know, but now it's much more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what was the name of it? The Christian Science Monitor. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Good. What else are we using? Wow. I think that's the first time I ever heard that one being used, but I could see it. I happen to like mechanics, too, so popular mechanics. And then what's new in technology and gadgetry and good. I wouldn't have thought of it, but I can imagine they'd take right to that one.
Popular science is one that I do remind me.
Uh-huh.
You have to screen it sometimes a little bit. I mean, I always look through it, but there's some really cool innovative stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. What else are we using? Mm-hmm.
And then took some time over the next month for them to see how the same events are treated by different magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Just to develop perspective, having developed discernment.
It is. You know, I haven't done that regularly, but on occasion. I'll do that with U.S. News and World Report, Time Magazine, and World. I try to find the same article or the same issue. and it is amazing the different view you'll get when you read it in different venues like that. It's good. One thing, Chad, I don't know that we should use it regularly in the classroom, but I would be I for one would encourage you to at least have a feel for mainstream news. What they're saying. So Yeah, I use Refdesk a lot, and their 10 lead stories are almost always kind of liberally biased in a number of things like that. Of course, they have all these links to a Drudge Report and this and that and the other thing. I don't use that necessarily for the current events class. In fact, I'm not teaching current events right now, so I'm not real current with it, but I get my own news a lot of times that way, as well as the periodicals. Okay? What else are we using?
Back to Jonas's last idea, something that I've had some of my older students think about is when there was a write-up about our community, something they knew a lot about. See how it's treated in the newspaper, and it's happening all the time. Facts are being distorted. You may not be getting the clear picture. And that resonated with them because they knew the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw how it was portrayed. It was personal to them.
That's fascinating. That's really good. I went to public schools, and I'll end with this story. I had a world cultures teacher, I believe, in about 10th grade. Mr. Dolly was his name. Died of cancer now. But at any rate, Mr. Dolly, he'd bring a newspaper in every day, beginning of class, and he'd read an article out of that thing, and he'd ask us what we thought. And every day, 30 students. And he'd rant, rave, and go on about nobody, what's the matter with y'all anyway, Well, one morning he came in, and this will tell you how old I am, and he read the story about the guy in Kansas, I believe, the Amishman, who had wouldn't send his children to public school, and they jailed him. He said, "Now, students, what do you think of that?" Well, I'm sitting back there about where that gentleman is, and popped up my hand. And I said, "Well, I think that a person ought to be able to educate his children just however he jolly well pleases." Mr. Dolly's holding the newspaper, and he looks up. He dropped the thing on the floor. He said, "Finally, somebody in this class has an opinion about something." I got straight A's the rest of the year. That's a good place to kind of push people around to make them think and get them to talk and give some opinions. Okay, listen, I have to stop right here. I'm not going to be ready for my next thing until I get over to my office and get things ready to go here. But be encouraged in your school and in your classroom to take the events that are happening locally, nationally, worldwide, and help your students to connect with them and make sense of them in the world they live in. To me, that's an extremely important piece of education. Thank you very much, and have a good day, and I hope current events goes well for you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.